It's Marketplace Tech for July 28th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. I'm going to do our first bit of news in 140 characters. Ready? Twitter prepares to release quarterly profit information today after markets close and in the midst of questions about leadership and growth. Success. Now, regarding interim CEO and co-founder Jack Dorsey, the once and future challenges of the company, let's go to senior Slate tech writer Will Oremus. Hi, Will. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks, Ben.
As this latest quarterly report gets released, what are the other challenges that the company faces?
Well, there are always twin big challenges facing Twitter. One of them is to grow its advertising business, and the other one is to grow its user base or its reach. It's been pounded by investors over the years for not growing its user base as fast as some competitors. So they've been trying to shift their key metrics from the number of active users they have to sort of how broad their reach is, how wide an audience they can reach, even if it's people who aren't logging into Twitter every day.
Jack Dorsey seems to be making people happy, but can he stay at the company, especially with a Square IPO on the horizon?
That's going to be tough. Dorsey is obviously a popular figure within Twitter. He has returned to the CEO position in an interim role, but whether he can stay, I think it's unlikely. You know, the Twitter board really wants someone who can put their whole life into this role, and Dorsey taking Square public at the same time is just going to have a tough time giving Twitter his full attention.
What can a new CEO actually do for a company like Twitter at this stage in the game? I mean, can the right person really change the company's fortunes and make the board happy?
I think this is a rare case where a new CEO might actually have a chance to make a difference, because Twitter is a company in such a state of transition and flux. Nobody knows exactly how it's going to emerge from this sort of, I don't want to call it a midlife crisis. It's like, but in startup years, Twitter is kind of having a midlife crisis. I mean, it went through the big early boom years. It started to mature and make money, but now it has to really grow into something much bigger if it's going to satisfy investors. So it's a turning point for the company, and maybe the new person really could have a chance to shape how that turns out.
Slate's Will Oremus. Will, thank you.
Thanks, Ben.
By the way, it sounds like Twitter is starting to allow users to claim copyright infringement when someone steals and then reposts the original poster's jokes without permission or attribution. So, you know, if you're going to be funny, be original too. This Wednesday, Microsoft will release what the company hopes will be its easiest software update of all time, its Windows 10 operating system. The company's last OS was not a huge success, but CEO Satya Nadella has said the new version will work in a similar way across all kinds of devices, from computers to phones and tablets. Dan Ackerman, section editor at CNET, says Windows 10 represents a big change in how it's delivered.
Microsoft is kind of following the Apple model, where they're saying, here's a new version, and we're just going to give it to you for free. It'll just download and install automatically once you click on a few buttons, and you shouldn't have to worry about it. I will say, though, in the, you know, about half dozen systems that I've updated here in my testing lab that cover a wide gamut from, you know, $200 laptops to $2,000 systems, I haven't run into any real problems so far with the latest version of Windows 10.
Dan Ackerman there at CNET. This week, off the coast of the state of Rhode Island, a popular technology in Europe will get its first real debut in the U.S. I'm talking about offshore wind power. A massive wind farm built in the Atlantic Ocean will feed not only electricity to the popular vacation spot Block Island, but also to the mainland. Amy Grace is head of wind research for energy analysis organization Bloomberg New Energy Finance. She says there are some key reasons that this technology has yet to break into the American renewables market.
The reason is that we do not have a subsidy for offshore wind. So if you were to start construction on a new offshore wind project today, it would effectively be unsubsidized.
And there's some political interest in this particular case, right? Because Block Island has a kind of old-fashioned way of getting its energy normally. And so people are really open to this because it's actually going to make their energy a lot cheaper, at least in the short term, right?
That's right. Islands tend to have to import all of their energy for electricity, which makes it really expensive. One that's notorious for this is Hawaii, which has some of the highest energy costs in the country, simply because they're shipping in oil to burn for electricity. So renewables actually makes a lot of sense on islands.
Can you describe a little bit of this technology to me? It's being built 3 miles, as I understand, off the island itself. And they have to do this drilling underwater, and they have to do it when whales aren't in the area. Can you just like break down what this thing looks like and how it's being built a little bit for me?
Yeah, sure. It's not that complex. I mean, we've been doing things like this for many years. You have a foundation that is fixed to the ground. And then on top of that, a long steel tower, which is about 100 meters tall. And onto that sits a 150-meter wide rotor, which is those blades that you see sort of sweeping around. It's enormous.
And there will be several of these that will then feed their energy that they gather into Block Island, but also to the mainland. How does the cost of wind energy generally and offshore wind energy compare with other sources?
Offshore wind is still very expensive, and it's even more expensive in the U.S. than it is in Europe simply because we don't have the infrastructure to deal with it.
Will this particular project help to pave the way for more offshore wind farms?
No.
Well, that's a pretty simple answer.
The problem that offshore still has is that it's very expensive. There's a project that we might see out of Maryland. There's a few states that are still talking about how to subsidize it. But for the most part, this is probably the biggest project we'll see for a while.
So this may be the only project like it we see for a couple years. Amy Grace is head of wind research for the energy analysis organization Bloomberg New Energy Finance. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.